Space broke when I got a phone call. These things are like kind of iffy when it comes to that kind of thing. If you take a phone call, it might keep you online, it might not. In this case, it didn't. Give people a roll back in for a second here. Anyway, if you have any interesting coins I should be buying, or like something that's at a discount or whatever, or just like compelling in some way, let me know. I was kind of looking for stuff sort of on just stuff off like Coinbase and whatever that are easy to pick up mostly. Just keep things simple. Let's see. Objective dropped back down to 48. Getting phone messages one sort or the other today. I wonder if anyone has any opinions here about Illuvium. And that's ILV, I believe. Hey, Bruce, sorry about that. Phone call disconnected space again. It's annoying. can you host, Bruce, if it breaks?
I can sometimes, but not today.
Okay. Because like this, I don't know why, but it's just when sometimes you get a phone call, you can swap over to the call, you're good to go. Other times I come back and the space is closed, it just breaks it.
I quite like it. I think it's a sort of a natural limiter valve on your compulsion.
That's true.
And it also reinforces that life is a privilege and not a right.
That's a good, yeah. As long as you take some useful philosophy from it, it can be useful.
What did you? I heard. Does anyone have any thoughts on? Then I connected and it cut.
I was saying. Does anyone have any thoughts on this? Not video game, but it's like some kind of trading game coin called Illuvium. I've never used it.
I've got an opinion. Sort of thing.
What's that?
I've got an opinion.
Yeah, what's your opinion on it?
My opinion is, if it's a complicated word, or you can't pronounce it, then it can fuck off. So I'd stay away.
It's a good enough reason.
There's actually a large amount of people who are very smart, who are very much like small name maximalists. There's a coin I bought lately, which I told you about, called Dog, right? Which is the original Doge NFT as a picture, like the picture of the dog looking sideways or whatever, was sold at an auction house for $4.4 million to a DAO called PleaserDAO. And then they fractionalized it. They turned it into a token, meaning that if you own the tokens, then you have proportionate ownership, proportionate to supply of that actual NFT. So a token was built out of that and called Dog. And I know a lot of nine-figure kind of net worth people now who own this thing. And I asked them, like, why? And the two reasons why are really that, number one, simple name. Number two, probably number two for me at least, is there's really high congruence between wealthy people owning it. And those kind of people tend to only care if there's massive upside, right? They tend to only really buy things if they're willing to hold them a long time. They're not really flippers. They're more leveraging the network and the control of supply to pump the fuck out of it. And make it relatively illiquid. And then the third reason is probably that in some sense, it's a prediction of art history and future, or that's a good narrative anyway. Like maybe this becomes the Mona Lisa of crypto or whatever in I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years or whatever. But the thesis is largely the simplicity of the name. I think likewise, if anything has a complicated name or an ugly name, then it's dead. Do you remember my encounter with Lodestar Finance, Sefi?
No, what happened?
I invested in this thing on Arbitrum called Lodestar Finance, which looked pretty cool, but I thought the name was just fucking awful. Like L-O-D-E star finance. It's like the cringiest possible, like, I don't know, Wild Western Steakhouse place. Like the worst possible name. Like yeah. Lodestar Finance. Like, what are you talking about? Fuck off. So right. I messaged them and I said, if you don't change the name to Wrangler Finance, I'm going to dump my 50K bag. And then I got like a snarky response from this, from like one of the founders. He was like, I've never heard that feedback before. Everyone else likes Lodestar. And I said, I'm fucking dumping it. And I dumped the whole lot. And I ate into a thing called Grail, which is like a DEX.
Lodestar Finance is truly.
I was like, this fucking thing is dead if you don't change the name to Wrangler Finance, like right now. And then I got Don Kryptonium and some other people to message as well. Like, Coach Bruce is right. You need to do this. He's going to fucking dump it. So I publicly dumped it. Like, I literally dumped it when they didn't change it. Because not only is the name shit, but I thought the founder attitude was awful. Like, the founders were like,
oh, we've never had that complaint before. It's only you who thinks this.
Fucking dumped.
Yeah. This is what happened. This is what happened, Bruce. Like, there's another one called... So there's one called the Elrond Network, and this is out of like some Eastern European country. And there's a couple of brothers. One sort of is a stage presence. One is kind of like this autistic sort of like coder type. And maybe they're twins or maybe they're brothers or whatever. Anyway, it's like it's got its own little rabid following. It's like a functional layer one thing, whatever. And these but the token ticker is like EGLD, E-Gold. And then, because like there was this metaverse narrative, remember when like Facebook changed the name to Meta and like everyone's like, oh, we're going to fucking live in the metaverse with our NFTs and you know, all this other nonsense that was like, that had like no chance of actually happening. And like, oh, I've got to get my metaverse land. Remember that, like that whole concept to get land in the metaverse and all this garbage. So they decided they would take on this metaverse idea. We're going to be the coin of the metaverse, but they kept the ticker EGLD and they've called, they named the chain Metaverse X. Metaverse X. It's just a stupid name. And then like, and so none of that was a good vibe. I didn't like Elrond and Eagle. The entire thing was stupid. And then I don't know if they were trying to get a meme effect or some shit. No idea, but it's stupid. And then, so I had this token staked or whatever through the bear market. I made some money on the staking rewards. And then I just like let the thing ride up to a certain level where I was up like a 2X off, you know, when I bought it or something. Maybe not even that much. And I was like, this is stupid. Like, these guys are not like executing on anything. And I just sent out a tweet. It was just simply, I'm selling this shit. If someone on the internet doesn't explain to me why I have to hold it. So I used, you know, the little dollar sign Eagle and nobody responded. That's how I knew like this shit is dead. I'm getting out. Now it's not that it's dead. It's going, but like same thing. The vibes were just was no good. And the name was just stupid. Sometimes, like, Bruce, like, pull up, you know, like, the Lexus car brand? Like, you know, it's like, it's like a luxury brand of Toyota, right? Go on Google or whatever, pull up Lexus and tell me whether you like this, like, model of vehicle. Just, like, pull it up real quick. This is an experiment. I'm curious, like, what you say.
Lexus in general or a certain type of Lexus?
Just, like, just pull up Lexus and look at the design on these cars and you tell me, do you like instinctually, it's like, I like this.
For any particular year or no?
Just pull up the local, the current, like.
I think
like
they've changed over time.
I'll pull it up at the same time just to kind of see.
But they have, I remember they've changed over time.
Yeah, for sure. But like, you know, just look at the current.
I'll look up like 2023 then.
2023. Yeah, you look at the current or just Lexus.com. Just go to like their website and go like, look at what their shit looks like. And you tell me what you like.
No.
I'm just curious what your thoughts are here. Just as a design concept. The name is not bad. Lexus is nice. It's a nice like short name. It's fine.
No, I don't like it overall. It's
like, what do you perceive as the problem here? Like, you're talking about basically like one of the most reliable cars in the world, you know, like it's like really right there at number one kind of thing usually.
Let me post some pictures of what I'm looking at, then we can like, refer to the same thing.
Yeah.
They just have old people interior stuffy. That's the problem with them. like grandma going to drive those things.
But I mean, like,
I aped into bra token.
What is it? Bra?
Yeah, on the soul, what's it fucking called? Chain. So it's soul bra.
Bra, okay.
It's soul bra.
It wasn't soil bra. S-O-I-L-B-R-A-H.
I'm just a complete noob to this. I got in on this because my friend told me.
Soil bra was like the username for Crypto Susanna, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
I posted some Lexus. If you go on my timeline, or I'll put it at the top. One sec.
I'm going to tell you about that, Bruce. When I was thinking about this earlier today, when I first saw you on when you were Soil Bra, you were talking like you were Crypto Susanna, and then you switched to one of your other characters. And like, I remember posting and being like, what the fuck, man? Like you lied to me, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was all serious about it too. And then like, as soon as I hit the send button though, like went on the post, like I immediately like realized that was like I figured you out at that point. Like I was like, oh, he plays characters. Like this is his Percy's Bruce. Like that's what he does. But yeah, for a second there, like I got triggered and I like tried to call you out.
I think everyone goes through this cycle. It's been very rare that somebody doesn't have like a cycle of sort of anger and then relaxation and whatever. I seem to produce like two very strong reactions. It's either like somebody has initial confusion and then sort of moves into play mode, or somebody gets angry forever and then talks about my IQ for 2 hours on a space.
Okay, so this Lexus thing, describe what you see here with these vehicles. Like what do you like, what do you not like, just as a general design concept?
Me or anyone?
Yeah, you specifically. I'm just curious, like
vibe check. Okay, so it's like overly box like and square. It's really like, I mean, firstly, the designer fucking sucks. Hey, Bert, you gotta fucking stop that stuff.
Okay, right.
Got to do the mute.
Just mute in between, yeah.
Yeah, keep forgetting this shit.
Overly, it's almost like some of these mashed together like a load of ugly things. I don't think they even work in separation if you were to make each part congruent with the part itself. I think that the fucking grill, the front radiator, is ugly as fuck. Like, that's probably the ugliest thing.
Like, this is the
like,
part.
What
like,
were they thinking?
So, like, to some extent, the front of a car is appealing to people because it looks a little bit like a human face. Generally, like, when cars, they have, like, two eyes, they have a kind of a, like, a nose, a little thing that, you know, the little
icon. Some level of personality. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's basically like your brain sort of like interprets.
It's like personification is what it's called, right? Yeah.
You're personifying
the tank engine.
Yeah, and so like when you have, say for example, let's say you had one light that went all the way across the front, like a cyclops or something, it just doesn't look right to people. It just like it's almost like a window that's the wrong size. Like maybe like it's a 2x9 window or something weird, you know, like, so proportionality is just kind of like part of how my brain is like built to like certain like proportions and what have you. But like, I couldn't figure out with this Lexus thing. It's like, why is this front grill, like, why does it get wider at the bottom? It's like, I don't know why, but like, it's like
fucking
that
awful
feature for some reason, like I've always thought was sort of hideous to generally look at a car. Not to say that like, cars in general, the overall shape, someone posted an image of all the different car brands, and like all of them have basically like migrated to the same shape. Like there's not materially that much difference. Like there's obviously
cultural appeasement bullshit, right? It's like looks all the same.
Yeah, like there's like four wheels, shit. There's like a crossover, it's a certain height, like you know, the back has to have a certain angle, whatever. And most cars have like conformed to sort of like maybe what would be considered the most popular human norm. And then you have this thing, which is like this weird grill. And obviously they do it because they're trying to differentiate themselves from whoever. And like, okay, this is like the Lexus look or something. But like for the last 10 years, I can't for the life of me figure out who wants that look exactly.
Looks like a sophisticated dildo to me, you know.
It's sophisticated something. Like, it's like, what is this? Like, and by the way, like there is a population out there that likes to buy this appearance.
It's like NFTs. It's like my NFT theory. I think.
Exactly. Like, who is this population?
I think there is a certain kind of like 55-year-old woman who looks at it and says, that is rugged and safe.
There's actually a lot of Asian men that drive Lexus. Huh?
There's also people who just are like aesthetically unaware or incompetent and don't really know the difference between something that is good looking and not. And they just like see Lexus and they're like, that's a quality car. And they look at the mileage or whatever and they're like, yeah, I'm going for it.
Why is it all jumpsuit, you know?
Well, I have friends who worked in car dealerships, right? Over time, and they said, we got the ugliest fucking colors of cars shipped to our car dealership, like horrible fucking mucus green and horrible brown. And these cars sat in like the lot for 2 months. And the people in the dealership thought that fucking thing will never sell. And then out of the blue, somebody turns up and they're like,
yeah,
this is my perfect color. I've been looking everywhere. This is the fucking perfect car I want. And people exist. So like, it's just part of the probability curve, like the spectrum. They're just out there.
It's like the client soul must be so ugly, you know, it's the only thing that fits them, you know.
Well, there just is preference, which is why they make them in the first place, because of past sales, right? It's like they do a stock check, what sells out.
It's like a BDSM punishment for the people, you know? It's like they don't want to buy beautiful, they just want to buy something fuck ugly, you know?
Because... No, it is beautiful to them. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah, that's the point, right?
It's but like, yeah. I feel like you get a giant block of like cheese or something and you push it through the grill and maybe it comes out as like string cheese on the other side.
I'm picturing like a sort of a frail older woman running her hand down the grill and thinking to herself, this is rugged. This is sturdy. This is safe. I'm in a Lexus. Oh, and the fuel efficiency is a bonus.
Interestingly, like, it's not that Toyota and whatnot have not created interesting looking things in the past. It's just like both the Toyota things and the Lexus things. I own Toyota stock. The thing's up like 50% or whatever. It's like it's the most popular car in America.
I think they lost it like 5 years ago, Steffi. They look ugly as fuck, right?
Yeah, they're ugly as fuck. And like to Up's point, like these things have this like certainly like a geriatric interior vibe going. It's like,
have you ever driven one or been in one, Steffi?
It's been long time.
They're way cushy. Like everything about them, like the way they drive, the suspension, they're just like luxury, you know, like they don't go fast. And all the grill, like the coach was talking about, that's on all of the models, like from the sedans all the way up to like their SUVs. They just have the stupid ass ugly grill that's on it. And they do have good resale value, but they're super like old, they're old geriatric, like you said, cars.
I just can't figure out, like, yeah, this grill, it's like the NFT concept, like we're talking about. It's like, if you were to think of, like, the interpretation of the grill as, like, the interpretation of a person's face, what does the average face of a Lexus user look like? And what other junk do they buy that has, like...
Yeah, it's fucking, it's melting. Like the old person thing where the ears get longer and bigger with time, and the nose droops, and the mouth fucking falls down.
It's like a weird, gigantic mouth look. It's strange. It's like... It's like driving down the street and you're scooping up garbage or something.
Maybe it is objectively ugly. I would say there's probably a large degree of people who just choose cars based on stats and like efficiency and transporting kids and that kind of stuff as well. Like they're somehow like removed from the aesthetic component.
Just as upset, the resale value is just high. Honda and also Toyota.
There's also an element of like you have to create these things in such a way that they're, you know, it's so easy to look like everything else. So I can understand how you wind up with, hey, let's do this design decision just to make it look like so much dramatically different than similar brands or something. Differentiation.
The one you just posted looks like a cheese grater.
Yeah, push some goat cheese through it.
Maybe like filtered dirt and like just like excavate landmines or something with it. It's just an interesting look to it. Like in all of their things, they have this vibe where it's like this thing gets bigger on the way down. It's like an upside down smile or something that some people have.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they've been doing this for like over a decade. Somebody likes this look. Like, and it's, I don't know. Like, so it's like, I don't even bother going.
I don't know. Maybe they just don't know the upside of having a different look. It can just be one guy who's in head of design or whatever. Who just like, nobody has the balls to fire.
But mind you, Bruce said it looked like an old guy, you know, Japanese population.
Is it possible it looks like some sort of Japanese thing that we're not aware of? Like maybe there's like a symbolic relationship, like maybe the bottom half of the samurai outfit or something, you know, how it flares at the bottom. I'm not sure.
There's just old people everywhere in Japan. I mean, what do you think the car would look like, you know? It's just what you get.
I think the cars in Japan are nice, you know. They're not necessarily aesthetic, but they're not ugly. They're just like these small, efficient cars most of the time.
Girls on all cars, though, are going to start going away more and more because everything's being cooled differently. Like all these engines, or a lot of them are electric or hybrids. Or in fact, like even the BMWs that are coming out right now, you know, they open up when you floor them and when you get on them, but like when they're not, they're closed. I think Elon was the first one to take the grill away, right? Like with the Model S or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's an element of like form follows function and aerodynamics and this and that. That's another interesting thing too, is like, so in the sports car world, like there's these like rear diffusers and things that you put on the back. Like my car has this thing, like my Spider, and it's like this aero kit thing that's at the back of the car, and it wraps around the back a little bit. They've gotten them to look really cool, and kind of that cool as in like that became like, if something has a function, then you can forgive certain elements of the look or whatever used to be the cool thing. The sporty look starts becoming that, the new style, and you get used to it and you're like, oh, that's pretty awesome looking. But then like you have other brands that don't actually have any of that actual function, and they just stick this black object at the back to make it look quote unquote sporty, which is, I think, is like hideous. Like to me, when you're attaching something that is meant to copycat the look of something else but doesn't actually have that form, it's just like, I just cannot bring myself to buy something like that. I don't know why. Like it's just like something not fake or whatever it is about it, it's just weird. Like, you follow what I'm saying? Up, like, you see a lot of these cars that do that.
Yeah,
like Hyundais from South Korea and stuff do this sort of thing where they just sort of like, they want you to get a cheap car, I get it, and they're supposed to be pretty good, but at the same time, they put junk on there that is meant to look sporty for sportiness sake. Like, for example, like you take that Lexus grill, for example, imagine that, but it doesn't even have a function. It's like, there's a grill and there's holes in it, but there's no air going through it.
Toyota did that for a long time with all those like scoops that they would put in their hoods. Like they were not functional at all. Like all the Forerunners and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Audi did the same thing. They put this gigantic grill, like, and I just can't, they're hideous now. Like my brother has an R8, you know, the sports car from with the original one. And that looked beautiful. Like it had a really like good proportion. And now it's like, let's make the grill as big as possible because it's more muscular or something.
That's what BMW did too with their new cars. They made those little like,
This crazy size grill. I don't like it. And then what's even more annoying about the damn thing is it's like, makes it really hard to get the damn thing cleaned.
It's terrible to like sit there and hand wash it. Yeah, exactly. Because you have to like go in all the cracks and crevices with the mitt and everything.
Even if you did hand wash, you're gonna poke something into like to 16 million holes of a cheese grater, and like you're gonna, just stupid.
Well, it ends up like, because I do hand wash mine, and you're right. Like it like gets in it like the fibers of your glove get all everywhere. Like you have to like pick them out and everything. It's a pain in the ass. Like they're definitely picking like the, you know, aesthetics over function.
Yeah, I think like Bruce, like a crypto coin should be to like, if you want it to sound kind of feminine, you have to have it end with the letter A, I think.
Cadena.
Luna, you know, like something about ending with the A that has
both of them sound feminine.
Mm. It's got more popular with time. If you look
that's how the Arabic language works.
How what works?
Arabic works when a noun ends with an A sound, it sounds a bit more feminine.
Yeah, I think there's a fair number of names that in Arabic that end in A, I believe, as well. Like Alia or like, what are some other names? I don't know.
Yeah, they're all girl names usually.
The Myra or something like that, yeah.
Well, Chad Barriford was on a space giving 4chan alpha. I just pinned it.
Oh, what's the alpha here? Oh, you pin the space.
Like, yeah, what, it's what a cool thing.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, basically, this shit's going to the moon.
Like the alpha is that it's going to go up. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Which thing, sorry?
Thorchain. They're talking about the landing protocol, which...
Yeah. It'll go to the moon until it explodes. That's the long story short.
Schrodinger.
More and more, not really Schrodinger now. Like, people sort of misunderstand these things. They it was the same with Luna. It's like,
I'm not going to invest in Luna because this mechanism doesn't work.
People were saying that, like, $1, $5. Are they smart? In a way, like, they're smart to know that something like that could happen, even if they can't really reason exactly why or predict the exact black swan or the attack vector or whatever. But the thinking comes too soon, right? It's like a thing has to pump like crazy to develop enough internal tension that it then explodes. And it's like, you should be aware of that. Like, you should be willing to invest in shit that will explode if you're at the right time.
Yeah, it's when we say, like, does something have sufficient Ponzinomics? Like, which implies basically, like, a lot of upside, but also, like, a rush for the exits on the other end. Like, or another term for that is, like, flywheel effect. Although maybe, like, when you say flywheel effect, you're insinuating there's kind of like a long term possibility to keep that flywheel effect going. Maybe it's one of the features of crypto, actually, that you don't get in other things like a stock or whatever. If you have a crypto and it doesn't have a flywheel effect, you have to ask yourself, what's the point of it? Like, why not just buy stocks or something? Because you can buy stocks and whatever on leverage too, right? Like, if you want price action, you can get it anywhere. So the thing is, like, how do you get a flywheel effect in crypto? And I guess the Thorchain people just created one with Rune. So that's kind of cool.
And for those...
What's that? Someone say something?
Oh, did I? I probably did. I mumble to myself sometimes. I didn't know my mic was on. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. So flywheel effects. It's like, anyone else have any coins with like crazy ass flywheel effects? I think someone, Docs mentioned that GMX had a bit of that too. I guess Ox does too, right, Bruce, to some extent? Like, you use the Ox token within the system.
Oh, yeah. Everything is designed to accrue back to Ox, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the only asset on the system is Ox.
Yeah, too. it's like
there's not even a stable
maximum coin, value accrual and maximum usage and maximum chaos. That's how I describe it.
Okay, so did everyone load up their bags for the coming weeks? I hope so. If anyone has any,
I mean, as best as I could.
If anyone has any doubts or theories about whatever's going on, feel free to like chime in. I want to hear the FUD. Like,
yeah,
how bad's it going to be?
Yeah, can you make me scared? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Can somebody's FUD scare me?
I was mostly simply betting on the idea that, like, last season, a few weeks after BTC breaks high, everything in Total 3 went crazy. This season, we're seeing the exact same charts, exact same pattern, and exact same Google Trends sort of features. So you would have to come up with a really, really good reason why, like, the crowd is not going to show up in the next few weeks to buy a bunch of random tokens.
Oh, dude, I think volume is going to go crazy in a few days, maybe two, three days.
How has the on-ramp situation changed, though, with that stupid thing that campaign they went on, Sethi? Because it was easier to get money in the system in 2021 than it is now. But I don't think it's hard now because of Coinbase still being there and cracking, right? As far as like the ultra noobs that are going to...
Yeah. I think all the ones, the alts I was mentioning are things that are easy to get to. I think the thing is, like, I'm less excited about stuff that's only on like KuCoin. It's not that Asia won't buy and stuff. It's just like, they've made the friction to buy things.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be on KuCoin much harder. So it's
frustrating. Well, last time you couldn't on ramp to KuCoin either. You still had to send it from somewhere else. But I just know that they went after Prime Trust and all those other like intermediaries now that aren't there anymore. So I don't know that's the only thing that you could speculate on what could be different this time. That and then everybody.
It could be good though. It could be good in that like there's less leverage in the system.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like probably DCG has kind of learned their lesson. You know, probably like people didn't have as much money to lend out to who knows who. And so I think there's a possibility that at least the price action this season is a bit more organic or less leverage fueled. And that can be a good thing because just there's more upside, you know, because like otherwise it becomes a bit more pump and dumpy. So I don't know. I'm not sure how much. But see, stuff like last season, I don't know how much of like Dogecoin, for example, was really leveraged so much. I think it was largely organic, you know, and just spot buying and stuff. So maybe it's, you know, who knows?
Yeah, because you can't have leverage on Robinhood Dogecoin, right? I think that's what was pushing the price of Dogecoin up a lot too, is Robinhood and Coin or whatever. Yeah, Coinbase.
Yeah. Well, everyone listed Doge back then. Like every random exchange added it because they wanted the attention. Anytime there's like a lot of attention on a coin, exchanges will try to list it because they feel like they want the business, basically. They want that trading business and whatever, because people search for that coin that's going up.
They want the feed.
Then the exchange lists it and they want to get those customers. That's kind of part of why I kind of called this like the price meme effect. You know, it's like, if it was the other way around, if exchange listings mattered, right? An exchange listing should cause, like, in theory, a coin to 10x if that were the case. Usually that's not exactly what happens. Like, you might get a quick pump and dump, but when you see, like, the price of a coin go skyrocket, and then you see a bunch of exchanges wanting to list it after the fact, it just goes to show you that, like, you know, when something's trending on Google and people are searching for that thing, they're searching for that coin. They're not searching for the specific exchange. So let's say Doge were to go up, or let's say a new coin, you know, the fart coin or whatever. Like, so you have this new coin and it's really popular for some reason, so much so that it's trending like on Google Trends, to the point of like, you know, defeating everything else. It's like AMC and GameStop and whatever else. And then what happens is then the exchanges are like, ooh, we want those customers. Forget about like if it's going up or down. We want those people to come to our platform because getting a customer and keeping a customer is kind of difficult on these platforms. So a lot of people joined up on things like Robinhood because Doge was there, or they went to Coinbase because it was added there, things like that. So I think that that's why I feel like the price is kind of the most important initial thing. And like, How does that get pumped initially to achieve that momentum? Just a sec.
Anybody want to take a guess at when we're going to get free money? Or that, like the title of the space?
I think soon free money will come.
I think they're trying to give a bunch of people free money for their houses. I saw that in the headlines the last couple weeks. In the US anyway.
Is anyone fucking around on Solana shitcoins?
Every day, all day.
Yes. Yeah. I bought that Horan or whatever it is. Not Horan, but the Elizabeth Warren one. Yeah.
Nice. I made a few coins secretly.
I made $200 on draw.
I'm probably getting wrecked right now because I'm not even looking.
I'm gonna shill bra in the fucking chat. Where's
Is there like a token factory, Bruce, that you make them on, or do you have to code them in?
You can launch just a standard pool, but the thing that people are using most now is a thing called pump.fun. If you look up that in your URL, it's the thing about Solana is like instant deployment of token for like a fraction of a cent. So I launched two tokens lately. One of them ran to multi-millions. The other one ran to like 500K. Both of them got launched. And I didn't mention either on Twitter. Like I can just post something and people will probably buy it. I didn't mention either. Like literally, one of them got like 5,000 holders in a couple of days without me even speaking about it. Just a random thing. Just like weird curiosity. Like if it's sufficiently funny, you'll get funded. So yeah, like super easy now.
Look at drawsups.com.
Say it again. Put it at the top.
At the top. Okay, wait. I don't know how to do that. Okay, let's see.
Oh, by the way, level 10, do you have any questions about the GridBot stuff, or was that satisfying?
No, not really. I just looked at you posting about these things, and I was just like interested. Yeah, but pretty much you explained it pretty much already.
Yeah. If something feels like the way I do it is if something feels reasonably bottomed, like reasonably seller exhausted, and I think there's upside, that's when it's really good. Because the grid cap, if it goes sideways, the grid just like accumulates and pays for the funding fees or more. And also all the interim profits that are accumulated increase the margin and then lower the liquidation price. So if it just goes infinitely sideways, I'm profiting and also getting less and less risky. Something like Rune at $5 or Rune at $1 was perfect. Like I thought Rune at $1 back in August was perfect because it was like super seller exhausted and I can just feel like the vague tingles of the thing reawakening again because it was really underpriced relative to the actual value to crypto. And then lately, like a week ago, I thought it was perfect again at $5 because they were doing the 60 million reserve burn, which was a lot of money, by the way, and also opening the lending caps. So Rune was going to fly in, like Rune buy pressure. So that's like the sort of logic behind it. And then it's much lower risk because all of the volatility converts to lower liquidation and you profit from all the volatility as well. It's like you don't really need to worry about when to exit as you do normal purse positions. Like on a normal perp, you're just paying funding fees all the time, every 8 hours, or on some exchanges, every 1 hour. And in that case, it's like, well, what's the balance of paying these fees versus closing it? You have to think about that all the time. Whereas with these grid bots, the ongoing generation of profit from volatility more than covers the fees. So you don't need to worry about it. I can keep it open forever, basically.
I do not know how to share something in the top.
Oh, if you go, you know how you normally, if you post it as a tweet, uh-huh. That's what you need to do. Post it as a tweet and then go on the right-hand side.
Doge looks like an excellent futures grid bot here.
Probably, yeah. I made a bunch on it already. You know the one on the top of my screen I shared with you, level 10? That was Doge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is a pretty easy one here overall. Just because you have a very, very nice defined consolidation range. So the probability of going less than 10 cents in a bull market at this stage is basically minimal.
Yep.
It's only at 17.9 and like 18 cents. And you could just maybe 14 cents is one fib level down. You just put that as your bottom range perhaps, and then just kind of let it run.
Yeah. So long as you have a bottom at the range that is reasonably safe, like 95% safe, then you're fine. And the range expands with time if it's volatile. Like it's quite rare something just goes straight down. Sometimes my liquidations have gone down like a dollar over time, just keeping them open for like a month or so. So with something like Rune or whatever.
I was just pulling up like the Google Trends data for it, Doge, and in 2021, like in January, late December, price started to rise, November, December 2020. And then you only reached like a Google Trends level of like relative to the top, which was later in the next 5 months, it was a trend level of like 10. 10 was the Google score on a score of 1 to 100. 0 to 100, and then it like of course peaked at like in May of 2021 at around 100. So if you kind of look at like recent trends, like during the bear market in 2020, it hit like 17 once. That was when Elon mentioned in that Twitter space where he was talking about the X platform. He said Doge the moon, and it goes to about 17. And then April 2023, I don't know why it pumped a little bit, but like there was excitement about Doge and like the level's 23. And right now we're at right about 9. But the thing is like it's right at the level, like it's right before, right here coinciding with the top break of all time high for Bitcoin. So I think like this is kind of like the primo possibility time where like if the crowd is going to come, now is when they're going to do it. And I'm just looking at the interest by region. Interestingly, the highest interest region, again, is Turkey. Very funny. Over the last 5 years. I don't know what it is about the Turkish, but they seem to like to gamble. If you look at the last 30 days, the biggest search hits were in Pakistan, Turkey, Nigeria. And number 4 was the United States for Doge. I would not have imagined that to be the case. And then 5th was Indonesia. It's interesting. United Arab Emirates, Canada, Singapore, New Zealand, Australia come next. Interesting. So it's like, if you're going to bump the Doge price, you need to like write this stuff in like whatever, Urdu or something like that. So the Pakistan language, is that most people speak Urdu there, or is like more like, is it more, it's not Arabic there, I don't think.
No, they speak Urdu, and they, I think they have their own language, but they use Arabic letters because they were colonized.
Oh, I see. I see. But yeah, Pakistan, Turkey, and Nigeria. I thought they banned like crypto in Nigeria or some shit like recently.
Tried to.
They probably nobody.
See, actually, there have been less Nigerians lately on these spaces. Maybe that was just like a lunk thing or something. There were quite a few for a while.
That's a good point. Every once in a while, someone from Africa pops on, but like, I think they do their own spaces and shit. They have like some African groups and stuff.
Oh, they do. I've been on like African crypto Twitter. It's like an area. there's a funny, like very like emotional and dramatic kind of loud and whatever side of Twitter that's like crazy African meme coin guys and stuff. I've been in some of those spaces before. Ears keeps joining them. Sometimes he shares the spaces and I join them.
So it says here, so they give you related topics that are rising on Google Trends, like related to Doge, and the breakout one is altcoins. So they have breakout, and then they have like CoinGecko is on here, but that's probably because CoinGecko has been crashing lately. So maybe that's why, or maybe people are just going to like, you know, check their shit more often. So they type CoinGecko more often. Trading views like number 9. Let's see. I'm trying to see like, let's see if I type in altcoins in this, what related searches people are doing. That'll probably tell you an idea of like CoinGecko, the word pump, Gecko Labs, profit, avalanche is number 5. Number 11 is Bybit. 12 is Binance Coin. 13, Robinhood. Interesting. So people are starting to like pick up, but the breakout ones were like CoinGecko, the topic of pump. I don't know why that's a pump top. That's an actual search term. And Avalanche broke out on here. Interesting. Related queries, Reddit altcoins. I wonder what the Reddit people are pumping. Shiba Inu, Ethereum price, crypto news, XRP price predictions. These are kind of like the searches. Interesting. XRP price predictions. So let's see how altcoins has been trending. So if you look at the past 5 years, so my thesis was like November, December 2020 is when altcoins sort of started getting exciting. And right, so November 22nd, 2022, again, this is like around the time of the BTC breakout, altcoins had a search level of like 20. And then it pumps to 57, then to 75, and then it maxes out in May of 2021, which is legitimately where the altcoin peak actually was. So the peak of the search trends peaked with the topping of the coin. Now, if you had looked at this Google Trends, you would not have known where the peak actually was because like it kept peaking over and over again. So which one of these was the top? There would be no way to tell. Like, because at the time, you didn't have like level 100 hadn't been reached yet. So the other levels would have been your level 100. So you can be at the very top of these search trends, and it's not a very good top indicator in prospectively. It's only good retrospectively after you look back. But now altcoins like the searches for altcoin has reached level 42 on here, which is quite substantial. That's like, at this point, super highly predictive that alts are going to basically just run now. Like, we're talking about 42 in reference to the previous high, which is way back in, level 57, level 42. This was like much later in interest last season. This time it's kind of coming early, I think. So we should see like a lot of upside in terms of crowds showing up. And altcoins, people that are searching are Bulgaria, Namibia, Netherlands, Slovenia, and Nigeria are the top. Interesting. What? but even Polkadot and like terms like altcoins 2024, things like that are trending. Chainlink is breaking out in terms of trending, Steffi, as well.
Can I confront mm-hmm. you?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're all going to get rich, free money quickly. Summarizing that noise. Yeah.
Can I confront you?
Okay.
You claim to be the greatest trader in the world, and yet your Oxdot fund trading vault has a negative P&L. How do you explain this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just went complete degen and got liquidated.
What about all your vault stakers? How do you answer to them? Put their savings in.
Oh, they get to lose money. I kind of said in the title.
They're your creditors now.
You're gonna lose money, and like don't, like, you know.
I'm first in line.
No, I didn't add anything to it to play around. I probably should have. I just kind of like left a little bit of a safe Luna long on, not Luna, Link long on there. And then what I'm going to do with this thing is once it, once it runs up, then I'll just like close that position and then start playing around once my funds return to something more rational at this point. Oh, by the way, I tried to add some positions today, Bruce. It didn't work. Something wrong with the
platform. What did you try and do? Are you sure you don't just run out of money?
Like, for example, I tried to... No, it says I'm only on like 5% margin ratio, 4.93.
I don't know exactly what you've done. But what have you got left and what did you blow up?
I've got like... how much total do I have in here? Like, I have like 200,000... collateral balance and available 190,000 aux.
You should be able to do things.
I tried to buy some things. Like I tried to pick up like a Doge perp, for example.
Can you try it again and just show me like what it says or whatever?
Let me try it now.
Screenshot.
It just didn't say anything. Like I tried it last night and it just didn't do anything.
You sure you've not made a limit order or something?
Yeah, I'm certain. I just kept pushing the market buy long button and it just wouldn't work. Let me
just
try
show
again.
Me the actual like error or whatever you're putting in as well.
It didn't actually give me an error. Like I'll do it right now.
Yeah, I mean the input be helpful.
So Dogecoin buy perp market order. I'm gonna say, let's say, like 1,000 contracts or something. Well, let me refresh the screen. It's kind of gotten stuck.
Don't be fighting my exchange, bro.
I think it's because of this VPN problem. Hold on. Shit, it kind of froze my browser here for a second. But yeah, like earlier I tried it and I don't know, it could have been a VPN error or something.
It should work.
Like the rest of the screen was working. It was like refreshing and everything.
I've never heard that before, unless you're
overspending. I put in like 1,000 contract Doge or something,
yeah.
And it just basically just didn't. It wouldn't take, like, every time I clicked it. I refreshed the thing, I closed the browser, the whole nine yards, and still couldn't get it to work for some reason.
It should work. Unless...
I've been blacklisted.
There's only really two options there. Either you're trying to spend too much, or your account has somehow been frozen.
Also, the order book was empty, too, which something was wrong there as well.
Doesn't seem like it's... working on your end then.
Yeah, something's happened.
But send me screenshots of these things and it's easier.
Hold on. My whole thing just like...
There were a few people who got like geo-blocked. I don't know if that's you, but I can check.
It blocks you permanently?
No, just until I say, that's my friend.
Let me hold on. Something went wrong with
my wouldn't the VPN just use it, or do they use the Mac ID?
Just redo my open my whole browser up again because it's like okay. Let's see. It didn't claim I was being blocked or anything like that. It was just It didn't even give that warning, like I was out of bounds or something in terms of location. So it's, I hit the trade button, it's going there. Okay, let's try again. Maybe this time I'll get it to work. All right, so change to, okay, so Doge spot perp. Yeah, now I see an order book here, so something's right. It might have been something
probably your, to like, your internet or whatever. Yeah,
between my VPN and my thing, it just wasn't, something wasn't right. Okay, so I'm doing a 10,000 contract. Mm-hmm. Doge long here, new margin ratio 6.55%, which is probably reasonable. It took my order.
Yep. It's good. Are you gonna publicly apologize, FUD? Come on, you FUDded my. I'm trying to build in public here. It's hard enough being a founder without FUD.
I'm getting tech support here from you. While I'm like, that my browser did not connect for some reason. Okay, it's not Ox.fun's fault. It's my fault. I just don't know how to like use a computer.
And whose fault is it that you got liquidated a couple weeks ago?
That was definitely my fault.
And whose fault is it? All the famine in the world.
I was fucking around and finding out, and then Bitcoin takes a dip and then burns my account. And which is funny because like everything I had, all my positions, immediately just fucking mooned. Like after I got liquidated.
You should have.
That's always the worst.
You should have shorted something at the same time. Like there's so many good shorts.
I should have just. Actually, I was thinking about it before I went to bed. I was like, "This something's going to happen." I was like, I should have just taken like another 10K and just sent it over and like dumped it in Ox there, right? Like it just
always, like, I've learned always be ready. Like, and literally always have like, I don't know what size people are working with, but always have like a decent sum distributed across all exchanges. Because there's nothing worse than something dumping like hell and then scrambling to try and get funds there. And then whenever you do try and scramble to get funds there, nothing fucking works. Like your bridging takes an hour. Your exchange withdrawal is like pending processing for another hour. It's like fucking hell. Like I wish I had the funds there. So I've learned now. I'm keeping like 10K on each exchange just in case of like crisis mode. I should probably put stink bids and stuff as well. But yeah, that's very, very common. I think with this stuff though, Seffi, like you basically got to short something to hedge it. Otherwise, what I'm doing is I'm hedging I'm longing, for instance, I'm longing Sol right now, Solana, and I'm hedging some ecosystem tokens that are crap and very inflationary. Because if you look at things like, Anchor or Mirror versus Luna, Anchor or Mirror lost value versus Luna, right? They diverged over time, the tokens uh-huh. themselves. So I think it's going to be sort of similar. I think a lot of things will be overvalued. Relative to Solana, and then we'll bleed out against them. So I hedge it. I count on a bigger like downswing. But if both of them move,
yeah. What we know for sure is like ecosystem tokens and these various things will absolutely get wrecked.
Exactly,
we know that for sure.
So I'm shorting a thing called JTO, I think it's called, which is like a Solana mm-hmm. hyperinflationary ecosystem token that is probably overvalued. And then I'm longing Solana.
Right. That was airdropped to everybody, I think, yeah. too.
And then there's like no way to lose, really. Because I think it will die against Solana over time.
So you just have it running.
So I have, the Solana, right now the Solana long and the Jito short.
But do you think that's like something that's going to happen now, though? I mean, like,
it is. I mean, it is happening already.
Breaking high and shit, right?
It's already happening.
It's already
it's already happening. Like, it's already losing against it. So I'm up on both positions now. But in a world where like Solana goes down a fuckload, this should go down even more and therefore cover the loss and keep me still in profit and also lower any potential liquidation by the increased amount of like collateral.
Realistically, how long do you think Solana is going to keep going up?
You know, I didn't know much about it personally until like 3 days ago when I made some meme tokens. And then I managed to make like a lot of money in 2 days by deploying a token in 2 seconds. And then I got bullish because it's like, where are all the Indian men going to go to deploy stuff and to play around and to buy $1 and sell $5 and that stuff? And it's definitely Solana. Like it couldn't be easier, right? Like it's such a like a barrier all the fucking fees and the slowness of Ethereum. Like seeing how meme coins are on Solana and how many holders they get, how quickly and how easy it is and how cheap it is. I literally deployed a token for, I think it was like 1% of 1 cent the other day, like really fucking cheap, like way less than a cent. And it deployed and it went live. And then the liquidity pool, the bonding curve for the liquidity pool, the initial pool just filled up like really quickly. And then it launched live on like Dex Screener and Radium. And the thing got like 2,000 holders within an hour. Like just nuts. Like there's loads of activity, loads of holders, loads of people deploying shit. It's easy to gamble. It's addictive. Fuck knows what Solana actually is. I don't really care. I don't know. But in terms of a retail user experience, people having fun, like 10 out of 10.
Solana's going to $300?
Probably, yeah. 500, 1,000 seems likely.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, first off, its prior high is 250. So even the first like FIB extension puts you at like crazy numbers.
So that's a good question, though, because everybody would have wanted to buy ETH at 140 bucks or whatever Solana is right now. Like, should we be buying Solana? That's because it feels like it's top heavy at the same time. Like it's 140 bucks, right? Like it just ran from $9 or something like that when the FTX lows were happening. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Coach? Yay or nay? Is this the next Ethereum?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, but I don't know anything technically, really. I have no fucking clue. But I'm just thinking from a user perspective, having deployed meme coins now and having played around a little bit, it seems like it can beat Ethereum at some point for sure. It's just way too easy and quick. Way too. It's like the obvious choice to play around on for a retail person. Like deploying a meme coin in 2 seconds with a cent.
Yeah, the gas fees are a big win.
And doing a transaction like fucking 1 second, like easy, very easy, yeah. Like way too easy. And people worldwide remember, like even if I don't care about fees, like someone out there does for sure.
I think my market cap, it just went to all time high, right?
I think so. Yeah. Someone was sharing a graph earlier.
Yeah. It went to like 200 and something when Sam was pumping it though, right? I can't remember as far as like price per coin, but I think there was less circulation.
Yeah, let me have a look. I need to check. I'm still.
Man, it's 180 bucks now. Holy shit!
Has everything else gone up, or is it just that mooning?
I was just on Radium and then looking at the bottom, and then it just showed the price. I haven't looked at anything else. It sets up 8% though over the 24 hours, 8.4.
Nice.
Yeah, everything else is on up.
This little rarible thing I bought started running now. Up, you know the one like. Rari, R-A-R-I, some sort of like random NFT platform thing. I picked it up the other on Coinbase when we were talking the other day. The other one.
I knew it sounded familiar. I think they had an earn program on it, right?
I don't really know. Like, I have no idea. Like, I just bought it because it was like a super small market cap. Like, it's up 20% now, but it's like, it's 35 mil market cap, and it's a marketplace for some NFTs and some other junk. And what'll happen is like, as these things pump, so it's an NFTs across multiple blockchains, Ethereum, Solana, Tezos, Polygon, Immutable X. And I don't know if this is one of those things that uses CCIP or not. Let me look. That's the other thing is like the research is going to be finding this stuff that is like Chainlink CCIP capable, because you'll be able to connect to like literally everything and buy whatever you want. Like Metis, that's why I bought 2000. Like, that's why I bought some Metis for this reason, METIS, because it has CCIP connected, which means they'll be able to like, and they have some new chain or some shit coming out. So that might be an easy gamble, METIS. GMX has CCIP connection. Anything CCIP integrated is like it's the obvious long-term winner. Because when Swift connects, and they're, I think one of the first thing they're working on is like bonds or something like that, is like you'd be able to like buy like, I don't know, US Treasury bonds or some shit into the CCIP network. So like Aave is connected, Swift is connected to CCIP. What else? GMX, some pretty big players in terms of this network. And what happens is like, let's say there's like a NFT platform connected. Oh, you know, the other one's connected is WeMix, that Korean video game thing, which is like the biggest or one of the biggest video game companies in South Korea. So when you add all this shit together, it's like anything connected to CCIP is basically going to moon at some point. It's just a matter of waiting and like, you know, waiting for it to happen. A whole bunch of games are connected and whatnot. I don't know if Rarible is this one of the ones. But yeah, I think what will happen is as everything starts to pump, then people are going to be like, hey, what hasn't pumped? I need to go buy something. And they'll go down the risk curve. And this Rarible thing is nice because it's like, it's only 35 mil market cap. So it's like an easy moonshot play this early in kind of an alt season. It has had a little micro pump, but nothing like what it was last season. Like last time it was up in the like $45 range. Right now it's like $3. It seems like a fairly obvious one. And it's been like up only for the past like 1 year, like trickling upwards for the whole year. So it's got a nice chart and everything. Out of like 35 mil market cap, it's got like a 3 mil 24-hour trading volume, which is quite good. So this is RARI, and it's like simple. It's on Coinbase, and you can just kind of like, it's easy to get it. So something worth considering for people if you have not done so. But no, it's not CCIP connected. I guess it's just like a cross-chain NFT marketplace.
You missed PayPal, dude.
What about
CCIP?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think you're right. PayPal did connect, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. I blew up one of their spaces today because I was pissed off about Link. I don't know. Because they track all your fucking like GPS data on like every transaction. And it's like I don't want that like exposed to like everything. You know, I don't know. It seems like maybe like there's like something not so great about that. They're using Paxos instead of USDC, and it just seems weird.
Okay. But I think this Rarible thing is like, as that NFT season shows up, I think that's probably like a straightforward 10x kind of thing. It looks like a good small gamble, basically.
Sefi, do you have any tips for a person who's who's entering their second year in crypto about how to preserve money that is made? As opposed to lose it all.
I don't know, like probably convert it into cash and sit on your ass for a while for like a couple of years.
When do I convert? Like, what's my strategy?
Another thing, do you have, in the UK, do you have Coinbase or no?
I don't think so. I've not only used obscure things. KuCoin is mainly what I use.
You might check if you can get Coinbase because you can put like just simple USDC, you're making 5% on it. So it's not bad, right? Like if you got like a million and you're making like 550 grand, like just free.
But how is inflation 3%, dude? Like if we're printing 5.5%, like it doesn't even make sense.
Well, again, like you've already 10x your money, like you know, forget about inflation and whatever. It's like meaningless. This is like unnecessary, like kind of worry in a sense. But yeah,
it's not worry. It's like the ultimate like picture of this all coming together. You know, would be like some type of inflationary scenario to run into this at the same time. It's bullish, I think.
No, I don't think that's. Yeah, it's fine, but I mean, I think it's like he's just asking, what do you do with your money for a while? And it's like, if you're going to wait for like the next bull market or whatever, and you're going to deploy some money, you just leave it growing some free money for you. Like, if, let's say you have to wait 2 years and you've now made off your million, you made 100,000 for free, essentially, you know, with just, you know, the inflation. Of course, there's inflation. You're losing some dollar value, but who cares? Because you're going to get that back anyway. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm I'm not too worried about like maintaining what I have, I think, but like increasing past like, I guess, like whatever the hurdle rate is going to be, like realistically, like I feel like, you know, I didn't keep up with it during the bear market for sure. Like, I guess, yeah, does anyone have any thoughts on, like, the fact that we're going to be in, like, an environment where we have to, like, I was looking at just, like, what margin costs to borrow on, like, for stonks today. And, like, dude, it's 14% APR. Like, how are they supposed to clear that on top of, like, the S&P only going up 10% a year on average, you know? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know. It seems like it's at a point where, like, there could be, like, I don't think crypto is affected by it, though, because I think that it has to keep going. I mean, it's the only life raft out there, but it's just something I'm pondering upon.
I think the answer is how risk adverse you want to be. That's just like a personal question you have to ask yourself that nobody can answer, and unless you tell us, and then, like, you know, somebody might be able to give you some advice, but it's going to be different for everybody is what I'm saying.
I just think there's like in my lifetime as like a 35-year-old human, like, I don't think I've experienced the environment we're entering. Like, I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I pretty much exist in like a world where there's just like free money borrowing, or like even negative interest rates, like at central banks. And now that like isn't going to be a thing probably for a long time. I mean, that's what I think. I don't see objectively how you fight inflation with inflation and debasement of the currency, like, unless you're going to hyperinflate, which is a crazy scenario. I think it's like an actual problem, though. I don't think just because everything's pumping like that, that's great. I think like that shows like some weakness to the dollar, right? Bitcoin can explode 60% and just gain, you know, $6 trillion in market cap or whatever, $600 billion. And Coinbase just decides to issue 5% yield for the Federal Reserve, you know, like the banks are all, I mean, it seems like that no one's like actually got the wheel this time, I guess. Like, not that they ever do, but this time it seems like it's really nobody gives a shit and is just like totally disregarding this problem. And I get it, but eventually that's like an actual problem for like people, you know? All right, just bull into Doge, fucking 75x long. Is that what you guys
want to
hear?
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, if you want, no, there's like, just different, there's different stuff you can do, man. Like, you can go into property, you can go into, like what Steffi was saying, you can do, like, the 5% thing, where if you want to start, like, hedging with just cash, if you think that cash is going to be king, there's so many things you can do, but it depends on how risk-averse, again, and how old you are. Because, like, you told us how your age is, but somebody that's 23 might have a different, like, investment outlook than someone that's 30, in their mid 30s, right? Like, you can't afford to lose as much money as they can because you don't have as much time. So, like,
but don't you think this is like I don't know. It seems like more of like a, like 2008 was a defining moment. You came out of that one way or you came out of that the other. Like, there was no in between, like, I did okay. And like, this also seems like one of those periods where like you either own assets and your value is increasing like drastically, or you're people that don't own assets and you're just getting debased like very seriously. Like, what was inflation at? You know, 9-10% officially. Like, imagine that added to their taxes or to my taxes. Like, that's what it really is. And like, there's people that aren't playing this game, like a vast majority. And it's like, I don't know. It seems like that's what caused a lot of problems, was like we had, you know, green energy, great. And then we forgot like to do anything with all the coal miners, and like then they got all pissed off and like started this crazy ass guy, you know? Like, there's like consequences to our actions, just like moving past people and past like everyone kind of getting on the lifeboat. I just don't know how to like get everybody on the lifeboat, like seriously, like fucking Doge, yeah, have fun, like I'm long Doge, but like also get some Bitcoin and don't like self-custody and don't let it go like for anything. You know, and seriously, like I feel like we skipped the like profound thought that like has left me in this market for like 7 years. And like, that's fine. Like, you guys don't have to have any of those thoughts, but like, it's like a religion, like a belief that creates these networks and allows them to continue is like the belief that it will never end. And like, I just want you guys to like know that that's like behind all this, like $1.6 trillion is like, that's representative of like a very strong high conviction thing that a lot of people believe in and just by their belief created value. And it's pretty fucking cool. But a lot of this meme shit is just going to explode and like, it's going to be fun for a while. just don't wreck your life, I guess. Like this time, I first time I went through, I guess I'm saying, I totally zeroed my account. Like in 2015, I just zeroed my account, got like 100, 200 ETH stolen from me. Like just like terrible shit. And like, if you come out of this that way, like, I just want to make sure I'm like being responsible about this too. But I guess to the upside, like, what do you guys have like thoughts wise? I'm really interested in like the general like consensus beneath, like underneath this. Like, do you feel like the networks are turning on, like that the people are coming, or that there's like just Bitcoin going and the institutions buying and like everything's just not getting turned on as fast as it should?
Since no one's answering, it's a good question. You never know, you know, that's the honest answer here. You never know what's really going on. There's no one, like maybe the general AI would have a clue, but we're just humans, right? We just can make about guesses about what's going on. What's for sure is like right now there's a lot of inflow into the US markets because the dollar is probably the most stable thing of all the other currencies. And that will give you some float. But on the other end, I think your inflation in the US will be still high because there's not so many foreigners that buy your bonds anymore. A lot of countries, BRICS countries, access it. So this will keep you with a high persistent inflation. I think real inflation will be like 6-7% for the next 5 years. They just have to dig themselves. It's the same for Europe, by the way. It's like all the retirement and whatnot you have there. It's like, it's the only way how to dig yourself out. You have to make people poorer by looting them. So they, that's just,
we've been doing that right for so long though, that like, dude, if you distribute that amount of debt over the population right now, it's not like, it's not going to be okay. Like, you know, like, and we can't, I mean, it would be a slower death to like do it 10% at a time or whatever and try to sneak it in. But like, you can't sneak 10% inflation a year in. Like it's gone, you know.
Yeah,
nice. I'm gonna tell you something. When the world starts to get really bad and these mugs out here robbing, you gonna love digital currency.
All these motherfuckers, they be running and gunning, and I'm all like, I'm sitting back just having fun in the sun, and then I'm like 1 out of 100. I'm just building abundance. The sum of everything we built during the last 100 upsets. You're getting salty, feeling faulty. You ain't no man. I keep robo here, grinning ear to ear, throwing up anarchy, smoking toiletries, spitting philosophies. Look at the dossier, we rack like geology. There's layers to this shit, like it's sedimentary. All these little onion peels getting torn off and buried. Imagine the smell. That shit is a vital experience. Without knowing how, you will not survive, period.
He's a fucking trip, man.
Jimmy, if you listen to this, right, you're getting absolutely fucking ripped to death, like on a spaceship for the life, you little troglodyte bastard. I hope you fucking listen. I hope you come to my house, son. I swear to God, man, I've got fucking loads of weapons and mad dogs, man. You're just a little rat, man. Go on. Fuck off, man. Go on. Fuck off. Harmony. Me and the other one, do you looking for a fucking job? You fucking idiot. You've just been fucking at the death. Fuck off.
Try to change the course of the portion philosophy. I'm just here for the corporation sponsor, but bottom me feels like I won the lottery, like I'm ghosts in this pottery. Chill, Demi, boy, the shit's supposed to be haunting. If it wasn't, ain't no puzzle, you would try to train your muscle, airdropping like a fatal hustle, but the pay is bustin'. Think of all the loss accrued just to pick up off the tricky custom. I figured all those sub-downs would make up for something. I guess it just goes to show, the fuck do I know? At least it's quiet over here, I like my little silo. It's better than watching them fight over how to divide my time between sitting at the desk and the ride home. Devs at Mickey D's, they leeching off that Wi-Fi. Zapdos and Mole, they shipping more than five guys. Console open, waiting for the kamikaze. When the flash phones bang, they're feeling like paparazzi. Snapshot motherfuckers. We got layers, meteor, jawbreaker. We cracking a lot of craters. We rapping a lot of pay dirt, maxing out relators. Imagine the smell, $5 wrench to your Darth Vader.
It's really funny to us at Binance that everyone here is talking about blockchain attack. We know who all the validators are. We know where they live, and we're going to their house. We're going with a wrench, a big wrench, and we will attack them with the wrench, and then we will take their validator node physically and put it in a truck and drive it to China.
Right. So this is an extension of the activities you performed on BTC, right? Funding and creating these massive Bitcoin mines, putting them in caves, putting them in factories that were abandoned in the past, and also using electromagnetic pulse bombs to detonate the USA and the other country mines, right? So you're now applying this strategy to Lung in order to take over the chain, is that correct?
It's more simple. There's no EMP bomb. It's just a van of men in balaclava, and they have wrench, and they're taking the physical validators from people's houses. They are usually very fat, and they're usually in the shower with, you know, with trying to wash their mice droppings off their clothes. So it's very simple. We just walk in and we take it, but if there is someone who is sitting at the computer or sleeping at the computer, we hit them with the wrench really, really hard. And then they say, stop, don't do that again. And we say, that's okay. Just give us your validator note. And then they give it to us and we drive it to China.
Channel Spaces.